Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Lift up your heads, Christian. Our redemption draweth nigh. It won't be long, this whole mess we're living in today. We'll be behind us, and we'll be forever there with the Lord. Thank you for tuning in this morning. I appreciate each one of you that does that each week. And I trust that the broadcast is a blessing to you. And that if you're a Christian, that it's a help to you. And if you're not saved, I trust that the Lord will use this broadcast to help you to understand your need of a Savior, bring you to a place of receiving Him as your Messiah, your Savior. Well, let me give you my church announcements, as I always do. They're at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. We begin our Sunday morning service with Sunday school at 9:45. Our worship service at 10:45. And then our evening service on Sunday is at 6. Our evening service on Wednesday is at 7. We invite you to come and be in any of these services that you could. Know that the Lord will bless you for doing so. We just an old-fashioned Baptist church. We still believe in the King James Bible. We still believe in preaching the Word of God, singing the songs of praise that honor Him, and just trying to do our best to worship Him and carry out His commission to get the gospel around the world if we possibly can. Now, let me go ahead and tell you that June the 2nd, we will be having our homecoming service. Brother Gary Crisp will be preaching. The Dumplin Valley Singers will be singing. We'll have a meal following the morning service and no night service that week. And we invite you to come be in this with us. It's always a special time, a special service. Now we're going to have another song, and with you in just a little bit with today's message, continuing our series on Christ as the Rock.
We're not home yet.
Have you ever wondered, as sometimes we all do, why good things come to others, yet they seem to pass by you? Why the more you try to serve Him, the harder things seem to get? Well, I'm glad to say there's a brighter day, and we are not home yet. Place of pure delight. even though we've already met.
And when my race is run, the best is yet to come.
And we
are not home yet.
Ain't that good news? Yes, sir. Have you ever walked through a valley? Satan whispers, no one cares. When all hope is gone, child, you're not alone. I know, 'cause I've been there. That's when my Lord reminds me, 'cause sometimes
How true that is, friends. If you're a child of God, you're not going to be real welcome in this world. You're not going to find it to be a real friendly place. But we're not home yet. And somewhere there is a place where we'll be welcome. And we will be recognized as God's children. And in spite of all of our failures and faults, we're still God's children. And when we get home, we will finally receive the recognition that God's children are going to get. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be on the radio, to have this broadcast, to reach the ones that are listening, to reach out across the world on the World Wide Web. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. And I trust today that your will be done in all that we do on this broadcast, Lord, that you'll take these feeble efforts, these words we speak, add to them your blessings and your anointing, and use them to bless the heart of your child or to convict the heart of that one that needs to know you as their Savior. Father, I pray that your will be done in the broadcast. We pray for the sick that are listening today, that you'll encourage them. And, Lord, give them a touch that'll help them along towards the day of healing, if it be your will. And, Lord, we pray that you'll just give them good days and, Lord, help them with the pain, help them with the discouragement, help them with all the things that we face when we're sick. Lord, I pray most of all for that one that's lost today, that you'd speak to that heart and save them before it is eternally too late. Pray, Lord, now for all our country, and for our military, and for our, and for those that are working every day to watch after our welfare. I pray, Lord, you bless them and watch over them and help them, keep them safe. Lord, all that you do today, we're going to thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series on the different aspects of Christ as the rock. Our springboard scriptures we are taking from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning with verse number 1. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So if you go back into the Old Testament, we've covered several times where this rock that is Jesus Christ, how that it kept coming through in their hour of need, and when all hope was gone, it would come. They would find in the rock that life-giving water that would help them. And then as we march on down through all of this, we've looked at several aspects of the rock, how that he's the rock of our, he is in many, many different situations, he is the rock of our soul. He has repaired us. When they were at Rephidim and were just about to die, he brought life. And friend, as the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you and I, as children of God, were without hope and on our way to hell and on our way to eternal death, he brought life, and he brought that life and gave it freely unto us. And we saw that he is a rock of results. He always supplied that which was needed. He always came through with the life-giving water that they needed on the journey and the manna that they needed on the journey. He always did that. And we find that he is a rock of relief. He is the satisfying rock. And we said that many times in this world today, it seems that there are so many people out there that just cannot find what they're looking for. They're constantly seeking something and always looking in the wrong places and at the wrong things to find that which will satisfy their soul and their need. Can I tell you today, friend, that Jesus Christ is the satisfying rock. He will fill that need in your life, and he can give you purpose in your life that you don't have today. If you're wandering around aimlessly, wondering what life's all about, and what you ought to be doing, and what is the purpose of you being here, my friend, listen. He can give you the satisfaction you need in that soul of yours to be happy in him and to be satisfied with the work that he's done at Calvary, and how that he can stand closer to you than a brother. Then we looked, I believe last week, at the rock of safety. He talked about a place called Petra, and I brought that up, and I mentioned that last week, that I believe this is where, during the tribulation, when persecution has grown to an enormous level, that God has a place prepared for them that they will go to, and he will take care of them. And so we want to look at this, and today we want to go just a little bit further, and today we're going to talk about him being the rock of strength. And to look at that, I want to refer you this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And we'll begin reading in verse number, well, let me see, I didn't write that down. But I believe that we can find that in verse number 24, Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Let me say to you today, friend, if you have built your house on the rock, if your foundation is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, then when the storms of life begin to blow, you have an anchor to hold. Unlike the foolish man who has built his hopes on all kinds of things that will not withstand the storm, there's those that have built their hopes on and their life and their house, so to speak, their manner of life. They've built it on all kinds of different things in our world today. There are those that believe that education is the answer. But I can say to you, my friend, that you can have all the book knowledge in the world and not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when the storms of life come along, education will not help you in that hour. Education will not help you at the time when the doctor looks at you and shakes his head and says, "There's nothing more I can do. I've done all I can do." And at that point, when there's nowhere else to go, when there's nothing left but that emptiness of life itself, and life is about to end, I can tell you that education will not satisfy in that hour. It will not give you the strength to face old Chili Jordan that you must cross over to the other side. Most of all, it won't give you anything on the other side to look forward to, because I can promise you that all of the knowledge in the world will not buy you one second of ease or comfort in that place called hell. And then others have looked for their strength and built their house up on the sand, not only of education, but some people have built it up on success. And it seems that the most important thing is to have power or to have control over other people or over some situation. And yet, friend, I can tell you that power will end at some point in your life. When you reach the end of the way, you will be powerless against staying off the hand of death. That power that you may possess today, though you may have hundreds or thousands that come and go at your command and that stand ready to do your bidding day and night, they will be able to do absolutely nothing in that hour that you must depart this world and go to the next. And then there are some that have built their house upon the sand of wealth. And can I tell you that no matter how much money you amass here in this world, when the grim reaper calls upon you, you're going to leave it all behind. You're not going to take any of it with you. And you're not going to have any credit cards to take with you. You're not going to have any influence from that money to take with you. In that hour, you're going to go alone just as you are. I've thought about that song, "Just As I Am," without one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me." Now I understand that we use that song as a song of invitation many times, because when we come to Jesus, that's the way we have to come. We can't clean up good enough that God will have us. We don't have to clean up to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's exactly as that song says. He wants us to come and realizing just how we are and come as we are. And our only plea is that his blood was shed for us. And yet, my friend, when I come to the end of the way, That'll still be my presentation. "Here I am, Lord, just as I am. And I have no plea except your blood was shed for me." My friend, that's the only thing, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed yonder on Calvary, that's the only thing that will count in the day of judgment. On the day of passing over from this life to the next, the only thing that'll bring comfort, the only thing that'll bring confidence, the only thing that'll bring any measure of confidence or comfort whatsoever is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of strength. He is a rock of strength for the challenges of life, as we've just said, when the storms of life come. And friend, I don't know how things are with you today, but sometime in our lives, we're all going to encounter storms. There's going to be storms of sickness. There's going to be storms of decline. There's going to be storms of weakness. There's going to be storms of family problems. There's going to be storms of life that we're going to face. And my friend, the rock is the only thing that's going to stand and give us an anchor that will keep us steady during those times of storms in our life. Friend, let me ask you where your house is built today. Is it built upon the sand? And maybe, I mean, I realize that there's a lot of other things besides wealth, power, and education that you can build your house on. You may be ignorant, poor, and all of that, and still have your house built upon sand. Maybe it's upon the sand of you're going to depend on living right. You're going to depend on doing better, flipping a new leaf. Friend, listen, that's all sand, and it'll sink when the storm comes. Get on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the rock of strength for the challenges of our life. But can I say that he's also the rock of strength for the church triumphant? In the book of Matthew, also again, in chapter 16, beginning with verse number 13, it said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man? That I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the disciples, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, there's a play on words there. We've already mentioned the word Petra. And as the Lord is speaking to Peter here, he uses a play on words there. When he called Peter, he called him Petros, or literally a little rock. But he says, upon this rock, Petra himself, the big rock, the stronghold, the rock of safety, the rock of sustaining, the rock of power, the rock of strength. He says, upon this rock, himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My friend, let me tell you, the gates of hell are trying their best today to destroy the testimony and the work of the Lord's church. But I've got news for you. They will not ever stop that, because Jesus Christ said in his word right here that the gates of hell itself shall not prevail against the church. And I know that there's a lot of opposition to the truth and to the things that the church stands for today. And it would seem that the people that are in power, that have the most influence, that are able to do the most of the things, have really taken a stance hard against the church and against the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings and His Word. But I say to you, my friend, that the church is going to prevail. And when the Lord comes back, it'll still be here. And it'll be here until He takes it out when the trumpet sounds. And then, and only then, will we really be at home. Now, folks, I don't know what your status in life is today. I don't know what you're building your hopes on. I don't know what you think. Maybe you haven't even thought about it. Some people never give eternity a thought. And yet, there is no guarantee that any of us will be here in the next minute. I'm making this broadcast on a Sunday morning, and it'll be aired on Tuesday. There is no guarantee that when this broadcast is aired, I'll still be alive. I have no promise of tomorrow. I have no promise of the rest of today. Neither do you. You can be gone. You're only one heartbeat away from eternity. Not too long ago, they sent me for an echocardiogram. And the operator allowed me to watch what was happening on that screen. And it is one of the most amazing things that you've ever seen. You can actually see a little electrical impulse that fires that heart every time it beats. Every time. And you're one tiny electrical impulse away from being in eternity, face to face with a living God, face to face with your Creator, face to face with the one that said that this is my beloved Son, hear Him. And let me ask you this. In that hour, what are you going to present to Him that would have Him accept you into heaven? Well, people talk about accepting Christ, and that's what you need to do. If the Lord speaks to your heart and helps you to understand that you're lost, you really need to accept Him. But I tell you what, I'm glad that long before I accepted Him, He accepted me and gave me the opportunity to hear the gospel and to understand. Many times in this Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said that hearing, you don't hear. And I'm afraid many times, there may be people that listens to me and to other things on the radio, and they're hearing what we're saying, but they're just not getting the meaning. You're not listening to your heart. And you're not, do not maybe want to face the fact that you're lost and you need to do something, that you need to move, that you need to seek the Lord. And perhaps you just don't want to do that. But friend, I want to tell you, that little electrical impulse that fires that heart and makes it beat every time, all that thing's got to do is stop for a couple of beats, and you're in the presence of God. And I ask you, what will be your plea? I've already told you what mine will be. Father, here I am, just as I am, and I have but one plea, and that is that Jesus' blood was shed for me. I have nothing of my own to present to Him. I have nothing that I've ever done, nothing I've ever said, nothing I have ever tried, nothing that I could ever think of, any accomplishment in my life that I could ever present to Him, other than the Lord Jesus Christ said if I'd come to Him, He'd save me. Friend, Jesus went to the cross and He died in your place. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And today he says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and you realize you're lost, I want to just beg you. I want to plead with you. Just humble your heart. Ask God to save you. Tell him you know you're lost, you need to be saved. Ask him to save you. On the authority of God's word, if you do that, he'll save you. May God bless you till next week.